My name is Darren. Really good to see some faces here that I haven't seen in a while. And new guests, welcome to you. We're going to be looking at scripture here together. And if you have your Bible with you, sorry we don't have the church, you can, but if you have your Bible with you, open up to Hebrews chapter 10. We looked at part of this last week. We're also going to put scripture up on the screen behind me here too. So it's really, really good to be back together in the building. Good to see your faces. Good to hear the shouting last night during the England match. That was great. Good news. I don't know about you. I've got a recurring dream of public speaking where I'm not prepared. Now, maybe this is just me and sort of my work, but do you ever have those dreams where you're turning up to the place and you don't have your notes, you're not prepared? I see a teacher at least nodding her head, and you don't have your notes. A couple teachers nodding their heads, and you're not even dressed the right way. You're basically not prepared. That is like a recurring dream of mine. Now, today I do feel prepared. I think I am dressed adequately, maybe not appropriately, but adequately. But that feeling is a little bit of what it can be like to come into God's presence and feel like I am not ready. I'm not prepared. I'm not adequate. That's what we're going to look at here today. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to look at Scripture together. Father, thank you that you are with us, that you speak to us by your word. And so we invite you now. Would you come, Holy Spirit, and speak to our hearts and to our minds? We pray that you would transform and change us today again by your word. Thank you that we can encounter you in the truth that you proclaim. And so open us now to what you have to say for today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. We've been looking at this series of why we gather, and we thought it'd be great as we gather back together to talk about what is the reason why Christians gather? You know, why do we do all of this? Set out the chairs and set up the tech and set up the live stream, play the music. Why not just carry out on Zoom for one thing? Why not just carry on doing good stuff in the community during the week? You know, why meet on a Sunday morning to do this? And so in the coming weeks, we're going to explore things around this question. Why do Christians get together like this? You know, we're going to be looking at things like why we gather because we're God's family. And the fact that we gather to worship, the fact that we gather to receive instruction, the fact that we gather to be equipped and to be sent out on mission. That's what we're going to do in this series. Last week, we were challenged by Jenny to not give up on gathering together, remembering that we don't just gather for our own individual benefit. We gather for the benefit of one another, the mutual encouragement that happens because we're part of a team together. That's what we heard last week. And so we looked at this text. This was the text that Jenny spoke to last week from Hebrews 10, starting in verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So let me ask you this. How are we as we come back into things like this? How are we as we step back into these church gatherings? And I don't just mean for you adjusting your Sunday morning routine again, back to the mornings, off of Zoom in the evenings, or even wearing a mask and having to social distance. I mean, how are we? How are you coming into these gatherings together? Are you feeling anxious after the year that we've just had? Are you feeling weary? Are you feeling excited? Discouraged? Frustrated? Hopeful? I was speaking to a friend just in this last week, talking about what it means having sort of come through the last year and coming to what feels like sometimes, not always, like the finish line. And it's a little bit like running a marathon. This friend was saying, you know, you get to the end of the marathon and you've just been pushing and pushing. What you want at the end is people sort of cheering for you and giving you that drink of water that you need, the pat on the back. And the problem is, for all of us, that it isn't just an individual who needs that, but we're all getting to the finish line and needing it from one another. And everyone's thirsty and everyone's tired and exhausted and weary. What does it mean to come to the finish line in this season that we've been through? Well, we all need cheering and a high five. So last week we were encouraged to come back together, to not give up meeting together, even if we're depleted and we think we have nothing to offer. And this week I'm speaking to that part of us that wonders, what if I just can't? Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I've got no business going to church anymore. You know, maybe you're thinking, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I did to cope with getting through this last year. I don't really deserve to be here. I'm full of doubts. I'm not even sure what I believe anymore. Well, you've come to the right place, because the truth is we all need salvation. We all need help. I've loved in this past year sitting in on recovery groups, because they really get this right. When we're together as AA or NA, Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, sitting in on those meetings, you realize everyone is here agreeing we are powerless and we need help. That's why you've come here today. So let me just say right from the start, right here at the very beginning, we don't gather because we believe that we're perfect. We don't even gather because we think church attendance will help us earn extra points with God. We gather to encounter the living God, and we believe that encounter changes us. And of course, there are many ways that we can encounter God on our own as followers of Jesus, and those are really essential and important. And we may hear about some of those later on as we're sharing some of those together. Those are really great, and they're necessary, but there's a special thing that happens when God's people gather together. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts to encourage one another and to build each other up. So someone sings, and someone teaches, and someone encourages, and someone prays, and someone welcomes. All of that we do together on a regular basis, because we gather together to encounter the living God. And Scripture shows us, and our experience confirms, that true encounter with the living God changes our attitudes and it changes our actions. That's why we gather. So let me show you where I'm getting that. It's in the passage that's right before what we looked at last week. It's in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. We have it here up on the slide for you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus... Do we not have it there? Oh, yeah, we do. Good. By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. So let's just unpack that just for a little bit here. Don't miss, from the very beginning, the collective sense here that we are together in this. Verse 19, brothers and sisters. And again in verse 19, since we, and again in verse 21, since we, do you see that there in the text? And then it leads up to that verse in 22 that begins a whole series that says, let us. So there's no mistake here. The writer of Hebrews is addressing a group as a group, not as an individual challenge. It's a reminder written to the family of God, brothers and sisters. And so it's like this. If God's family had a group thread, this would be the message that's sent through in the family group WhatsApp. You have a family group thread? Yeah? Love those. And so look at what we have been given. This is in the text right here. Verse 19, we've been given confidence to enter the most holy place. Later on, this is described as full assurance of faith in verse 22. What else have we been given? We've been given a new and living way in verse 20 to encounter God. That's a way that's been opened for us through the curtain, that is through the body of Jesus. We've been given a great priest over the house of God. That's in verse 21. Look at all the things that we've been given. We've had our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us. That's in verse 22. Our bodies washed with pure water, a picture of being made holy and right before God, verse 22. We've been washed, made new. We've been made ready. So if you like alliteration, we've been given a new attitude. That's our confidence. We've been given new access. That's a living way. We've been given a new authority. That's Jesus, the great high priest, and a new attire. That's the hearts that are sprinkled and bodies that are washed and made clean and right. Since we already have these things, let us draw near to God. That's the invitation. That means if you are a follower of Jesus, all of this is yours right now. How you're coming in today, whatever's happened to you during the pandemic, whatever guilt or shame you may carry in with you, remember this, that the invitation is to let us draw near to God because we already have been given these things through Christ. The invitation is clear and the access has been made available. We are out of excuses. The writer of Hebrews says, come. Just come, draw near to God. So how is all of this possible? Well, this is where it's helpful to look at the whole of chapter 10 in Hebrews. So let's do that together very briefly. Some of this will be on the slides in front of you. This is where we see the history of God's people trying to be clean enough, forgiven enough, ready enough to encounter the living God. So verse 1 of chapter 10 says, the law, or the old way of doing things, was only a shadow of the good things to come, not the realities themselves. Do we have that up on the screen for us? It's moving slow. The law, the old way of doing things, was only a shadow of the good things to come, not the realities themselves. And so for this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. You guys have heard, no doubt, before the definition of insanity. This is attributed to Albert Einstein, interestingly enough, so I guess he was genius to have come up with this. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. The writer of Hebrews says, repeated endlessly year after year, these things couldn't do it. In verse 3 of chapter 10, he says, these were just reminders. Verse 4 says, it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. On the next slide, in verse 11, it says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Over and over again, without a different result. So what is this new and this living way that we can draw near to encounter the living God? All of this is made possible through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. So verse 5 of chapter 10 says, when Christ came into the world, he said a couple of things. Verse 8, it wasn't sacrifices and burnt offerings that God wanted. He wanted willing obedience. Do you see that? And then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. In every life situation where we cannot go on, where we cannot measure up, where we cannot give enough or be holy enough, Jesus steps in and says, here I am. I'm here to be willing and obedient to the Father. I can do this. And verse 10 says, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's why it says in Hebrews 10, verse 12, on the next slide, but when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And it goes on to say, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who were being made holy. So take a moment to just reflect on the weight of those words. By willing sacrifice of Jesus, we who will put our trust and faith in him are being made holy, perfect in him forever. That's because of the blood and body of Jesus Christ. And that's when we get to this amazing text of verse 19. Let me read it again. Now that we're aware of what we have, and now that we're aware of how we have it, verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have this confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. That's encounter with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Is your doubt today keeping you from church? Come anyway. Come and encounter the living God. Jesus has made a way for you. Is your sin or your guilty conscience keeping you from coming back with a sincere heart? That means a fully devoted heart. Come anyway. Come and encounter the living God. Jesus has made a way for you. That's exactly why we're here. That's exactly why Jesus made a way for us. The price of admission has already been paid once and for all. That's what Hebrews is telling us today. You know, the one and only time I've ever been upgraded to first class on a transatlantic flight back when I flew, I remember those days, it was in August of 2013, and I happened to have my whole family with me, and it wasn't just one ticket, it was all five of us. Now, this was amazing because it basically meant on a transatlantic flight, the adults got to stretch out in those big sleeper seats, and the kids just ate ice cream after ice cream and watched every movie they wanted to on these amazing, I mean, it was amazing. I still don't know to this day how it happened. I don't know if somebody paid for us. I don't know if they just looked at us at the gate and thought, man, these guys need a break, and just gave us some good seats. I have no idea why we were given access to first class. The one and only time that's ever happened, and I was fortunate enough to have my family with me. We loved it. It was great. But we didn't do anything to deserve it. It was just freely given to us. I have a couple of examples of encounter from the Old Testament that I want to draw our attention to. And I'm hoping that we find ourselves in the midst of these texts. Maybe we can identify with people and situations of encounter from Scripture. Two examples from the Old Testament. The first is those times when in an encounter with Jesus Christ, an encounter with the Lord, you're convicted of your own sin. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 6. I think we've got it on the slide here for you. Isaiah writes, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings, and with two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Now that's encounter with the living God. The next slide. "At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke." And look at the reaction. Look at the response that Isaiah has. "Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined. In the face of awesome majesty around the throne room of God, woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." But it doesn't stop there. "And then the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand." One of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. "And with it he touched my mouth and he said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" That means the price has been paid. In the face of a holy and awesome God, the conviction is, I am ruined. But the price has been paid and my guilt has been taken away. But there's another kind that's demonstrated in Scripture, and that is when the sins of others or injustice causes you to doubt. You look at it and you go, "I just can't take it anymore. This world is too messed up, and I'm just not sure I believe any of this." Psalm 73 is a great example of that. Let's look at that together. The psalmist writes, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped." You know, he's saying, I almost lost my grip on things. "I had nearly lost my footholds. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. And then he goes on through a whole list within the psalm of how good it is for some people. And it just doesn't seem right. In verse 16, he says, when I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply. He says, I was overthinking it. I was trying to make sense of it all in my head. Another translation says, it became a wearisome task. Do you ever find yourself in a wearisome task of just trying to make sense of it all in your head? And then verse 17, then I entered the sanctuary of God. And then I understood their final destiny. The writer says, but then I came to worship. Then I came to an encounter with the living God, with my brothers and sisters. Then I came to a place of surrender to the King on the throne again. I couldn't work it out on my own, but when I came into the sanctuary, somehow I understood. That's when things were made right. So there's two examples. One person encounters the awesome presence of the living God, seated on his throne, and is immediately convicted of the mess he's made of his whole life. And his response is, woe is me, I am ruined. And maybe that's you today. In need of confession, in need of repentance, to turn from your attitude and your actions and to say, I am a mess, I'm ruined. Maybe today you need to hear those words of truth. The price of your sins has been paid by the broken body and the poured out blood of Jesus. Your guilt has been taken away. And the other person, jaded and cynical about the injustices of the world, asking himself, seriously, what is the point of trying to be good when nothing seems to matter anyways? Maybe that's you today. Coming into the church or tuning in online, feeling like you've nearly lost it, that trying to make sense of it all, especially everything in this last year, has become deeply troubling. It's a wearisome task. Brother and sister, come back. Come back and gather with us in the sanctuary of God, not just in body, but in heart, in mind, in spirit. Gather with us, family of God, to be reminded of the truth. That's why we affirm our faith in the creeds, to be reminded of the truth and to gain perspective, to have your hope renewed. Come back and have your hope renewed. So let me ask, which is it for you? However things have been for you in this past year, don't let guilt or shame or doubt or discouragement stop you from gathering with the family of God. Your ticket has already been paid for by Jesus Christ. You've got the first class upgrade. And Jesus said, here I am. Here I am. Encounter me. And then he offered his perfection for your imperfection. Once and for all, for all time. I know for myself, in this past year, I've had to throw myself regularly on the truth of this message time and time again. I've had to cling to the gospel. I've had to hold on to it in faith in spite of how I'm feeling. I've had to preach it to myself, and I've had to let other people encourage me and preach it to me to keep going. And so we dare to enter time and time again into the presence of the living God through the new and the living way of Jesus Christ. And that's how we can pray the conclusion of Psalm 73, which ends with this affirmation. We have it here on the screen for you, picking up in verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you, and earth has nothing I desire besides you? My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. But as for me, it is good to be near to God. Have you noticed that link in Hebrews? It says, with confidence and full assurance, we can draw near to God. As for me, the psalmist writes, it is good to be near to God. I've made the sovereign Lord my refuge and I will tell of your deeds. It is our encouragement, it's my encouragement to you and to myself to lean into what it means to gather together as God's people, as God's family, to encounter God, to encounter the living God. And when that means confession, we confess. When that means hearing again that we're forgiven, we receive forgiveness. When that means our doubts are alleviated because we come together and we affirm the truth of our faith again, we do it together. We invite you back to encounter the living God. Let me pray for us as we conclude. Lord, may it be the cause and the cry of our hearts for myself, for my brothers and sisters in this room, may it be the cry of our hearts that it is good to be near you. And Father, we thank you that you have eliminated every barrier, that you have made a way through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to be near to you, to be pure and washed, to be made right. So, Lord, would you seal the truth of this deep in our hearts and minds and cause us to live from that place of encounter with you, that place of nearness to you, with you right beside us and with us right beside you. Lord, I pray that for us. I pray that for us as a church, that that would infect our interactions with one another and our mission engagement through the week to our neighbors and coworkers. God, that we are people who are living from that place of encounter with you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.